The hour of 10:30 having arrived, I'm going to call the Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee to order. And with that, I will put before the committee House File 4024. House File 4024 has an amendment, and I want to put the amendment on and put the bill in order. This is likely to be our policy bill that we will hopefully pass out next Thursday. So I'm going to move the A1 amendment to put the bill in the proper form. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Motion prevails. The bill is amendment. And with that, the Office of Higher Ed is going to walk us through the bill. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Nikki Oliver. I'm the Director of Government Relations and Community Engagement for the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. I will maybe go section by section, but obviously I want to leave a lot of room for questions, so I will try to keep this more high level and provide as much detail that you would like on specific sections. So this bill does quite a bit of things around policy and technical changes. That includes expanding and clarifying the definition of sexual misconduct, requiring schools to provide comprehensive training on sexual misconduct and prevention. And I'd like to mention the amendment that you passed incorporated feedback that we received from Representative Rarick, and we added cross-references to definitions and disaggregation of the reporting requirements. And we reverted the original changes that would say sexual assault victim survivor, changing it back to victim because there's no reference to victim survivor in state criminal law. So we wanted to revert that back so there's references there. The bill also makes a few modifications to our Private Career Schools Act and our licensing statutes that are to be licensed or operated in Minnesota to meet certain standards. The bill expands the definition of school and physical presence to make it clear on what types of instructions offered at to Minnesota residents constitutes the institution being a post-secondary institution. It also increases some reporting requirements and allows the Office of Education to grant probationary licenses under certain conditions. It also prohibits schools from withholding transcript or restricting enrollment for students with balances owed up to $1,000 under certain circumstances. This includes incarcerated individuals. This is actually moving. We're actually ahead of most places, including the feds. The feds are actually moving in this direction. That would make withholding transcripts very difficult, and a lot of the institutions are already following these policies and actually don't withhold transcripts for above what the current law says. This also is requiring public colleges and universities to designate navigators for pregnant or parenting students. It also establishes or makes clear rights for those students. There are also some changes to our financial aid programs, some programs in which you all passed last year, to just put them in alignment with our existing programs, in, specifically that students' eligibility, they have to meet SAC requirements and not be in default on state or federal loans. That's in alignment with all of our other financial aid programs, so we're just making sure that's in the new ones. There are also several changes to the North Star Promise program. The most, I guess, important one is the defining of gift aid to not include aid that's already been earmarked for purposes of emergency assistance, child care, tools, and I think housing. That was not the intent of the a program as we know it, and during consultation with the institutions, this is something in which they feel would make the most sense to make sure students are leveraging all of their financial resources. We also have a few changes in here for our self-loan program. I'll talk about those in more detail a little bit. So the first change regarding our self-loan program that's being requested is to clarify that in addition to setting the maximum loan amount, the office can also set a minimum amount as origination costs increase the current $500 minimum may not be practical. The majority of private loan lenders have a much higher minimum amount of up to $2,500. The second change to the self-loan is the rules restrict borrowing to twice at the same grade level unless there have been at least 7 months between loan periods. We want borrowers to be able to complete their degree as quickly as they can and to be able to utilize the self-loan, which may have a lower interest rate. The third change is for is because borrowers must pay a total of at least $600 each year on all of their borrowed self loans. Billing loans individually aligns with the industry standards rather than setting a minimum billed amount per year for all of the borrowers' loans. Eliminating a minimum bill amount would now not be detrimental to borrowers. I think that's, many of the audience members are here for a specific change. So our fostering independence grants program, it's a good problem to have, and the advocates and the institutions and our agency has been doing our job in getting the word out about that that benefit. So we have run into demand outpacing the available resources, not having the available resources to cover the demand. We are asking to put a wait list in the language so that we can, when we run into this issue, we have a mechanism in place for the agency to address it. We have done everything within our power to address the shortfall, including in January when we had projected a spending balance in state grant, moving almost $3 million into the Fostering Independence Grant Program. Unfortunately, like we've said in testimony before, demand is high across the board, so we're running shortfalls in all of our programs, and we no longer have resources to put into FIG. As a policy option, we are requesting a wait list. And I know we're still in conversations with the advocates and also Representative Hicks on other possible solutions to deal with this problem. So with that, I guess I'll take questions.
Members, we adopt, for those members who weren't here, we adopted the A1 amendment. So the A1 amendment, I think, was her reference to language that had been worked out with Representative Rarick. And I know Representative Rarick is ill, but that's her language that was incorporated in the A1 amendment. So with that, members' questions. Representative Robbins is first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being here. My question, and I apologize, I'm going to have to ask the question in bulk because I have constituents waiting over in the rotunda, but Peggy is going to follow up on my line of questioning here.
Mr. Chairman, it's Representative David Scott to us.
I'm sorry, did I say?
I apologize, Mr. Chair and Representative Scott. My apologies. Yes, Representative Scott will take over. Thank you, thank you, Chair Davids, for correcting me.
That's why we have Representative Davids here. I believe he is the second senior member in the House. Yes, I do. So that's why he's here, actually.
Yes. Well, please forgive me.
Admit, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
All that means is I'm really old and I get really good parking.
Representative Davids, not as good as the chair. Representative
Chair Pawlowski.
Representative Cleavorn.
As the chairperson of the Legislative Task Force on Aging, these ageist comments have to stop.
Just the facts.
Representative Cleavorn, I hope that the House has learned that seniority not only matters, but it is quite often the only thing you can count on. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So back to the A1. I just wondered if you could explain more about the new definition of sexual misconduct. I think all of these items contained in it are very important, and I'm just a little concerned that domestic violence and sexual harassment are embedded in this new definition, and I just wondered why that choice was made, because I know they're dealt with in separate sections of statute, so I just wondered if we're kind of muddying the waters by putting those in here. So if you could just explain why we're doing that. Thank you.
Either Representative Robbins or Director Alda, can you direct us to where exactly these are?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Lines 2.17 through 2.20.
In the amendment?
In the amendment.
All right. 2.17?
Yes.
right, members, 2.17 and Representative Robbins, where was it? 2.17 through?
2.20 in the new definition of sexual misconduct.
All right. Director Oliver.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. I would like to phone a friend. Melissa Washke is our Title IX and Sexual Violence and Prevention Coordinator, and she can probably answer your question way better than I can.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski, and Representative. I'm Robbins. Thank you. For the record, my name is Melissa Washke. I'm the Title IX Training Administrator for the Office of Higher Education and the Sexual Violence Prevention and Response Program. Thank you for your question. It is a big deal that we do not want to muddy the waters with sexual violence. It is in sexual assault specifically. The definition is so narrow, and we know that incidents of sexual harassment specifically, as well as domestic violence, are incredibly important as well, and we're not capturing that data as well as we can. So we want to learn a little bit more. Secondly, they're inextricably tied together. People who experience domestic violence and sexual assault, or one or the other, along with the other forms of sexual misconduct, they experience both at alarming rates, especially in colleges, universities, which is why we expanded the definition. The other reason for expanding the definition is our states in the other area, other states across the nation have expanded their definition. And so as a whole, we want to stay and remain on top as a leader in this initiative, and really get a picture of what's occurring with our colleges and university students.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you. I don't think I have further questions, but I may, and I may follow up. Thank you.
Representative Cleburne.
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Robbins raises a really good point. And I know that Representative Rarick and Representative Moeller did a great deal of work last year in public safety on this topic. And it might be advised, we're laying this over, correct?
Yes, for those who were not here at the beginning of the committee, I'll repeat once again, this bill is in possession of the committee. We don't need a motion to lay it over. It is in our possession, and we're going to keep it in our possession until we have a motion to do something with it. And my anticipation is that this will be the core of our policy bill last Thursday. The work on this language was Representative Rarick's work. As my understanding, she had worked with the Office of Higher Ed and others, so this language, I would hope, would be agreeable to Representative Rarick because she had worked with the office. And this, I'll compliment once again the department and Representative Rarick. I appreciate when members work things out before we get to committee so that we have some knowledge of a workable piece of language before we start to fumble, bumble, and humble sometimes in committee. So, Representative Cleburne, that's my answer to your question.
And Chair Pawlowski, this is why you're the senior member. But I do appreciate the work, and I do appreciate the question of Representative Robbins.
Yep, and thank you for bringing it up. Director, Director Oliver.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And one other clarification is understanding the work that Representative Rarick put into the statute and her knowledge base, that is why we added these cross-references to the criminal statute for the definitions. So, just wanted to.
No. Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, members, this will be in the possession of the committee, and next week we may have a very short meeting on Tuesday, and then on Thursday, hopefully we will pass this out as our vehicle policy bill. Representative Cleburne, you look perplexed.
No, I'm amazed that we're moving along so quickly. We're great.
I would hope not only quickly, but with a great deal of precision. So with that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.